Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I'm joined by project manager at Sopra Group, Laura Gilley. Laura takes me through this winding, turning, twisting path that she took from college to get to where she is, filled with jobs in a variety of different industries and many, many lessons learned along the way. She's here to share them all with you. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. So you just transitioned into a new role not too long ago as a project manager at Sopra Group. Can you kind of talk to us, catch us up with what you do on a day-to-day basis, what's involved in your role?
Sure. So Sopra Group is a construction, contracting, and consulting firm based out of Delray Beach, but they really do service, the greater South Florida area. What we do on a daily basis, it's a little bit of everything. And I'm sure probably a lot of your guests have told you that with their roles. We meet with clients to determine what they need from their structure in order to, for lack of a better term, live their best life. So we'll meet with property owners, commercial or residential, who either want to build a brand new building or put an addition on their home or renovate their kitchens or bathrooms, or they want to knock down their whole entire house and put a completely different structure up completely. And then from there, we sort of work to develop a plan on how to make that happen in a way that is safe and structurally sound, but also is exactly what the client is looking for. So my duties kind of range from being business development to the company owner's personal assistant, to permitting and licensing with the city, to calling subcontractors and making sure they're at the right place at the right time with the right supplies. So it's a little bit of everything, kind of depending on what the day requires.
Love it, love it. And you're a great person to have your hands in a little bit of everything. You're good at managing all of those things. So this is one of my favorite things, and one of the things that I find most interesting is if we hop in the time machine and go back a little bit, let's say, getting into college, was this something that you, this industry, I would say, something that you particularly saw yourself doing?
Never. I think the only thing that I would have maybe, that could sort of be similar was I grew up and was really interested in cars and automotive. It was just something in my family that both my mom's side and my dad's side would rebuild their own cars. And so I figured if I were to get into any type of trade, it would probably be with vehicles, but that didn't actually happen. So I went to school thinking that I wanted to work at Disney World. So I majored in hospitality and I was like, I want to work in hotels. This is what I want to do. And then I worked at a country club in Boca, and it was the absolute worst experience of my life. And I wanted to denounce my major as hospitality. I said, this is awful. I don't want anything to do with this anymore. But that wasn't really an option at the time. I think I was too far along in my credits. It was too late for me to change majors. So I just kind of said, like, I'm going to stick with this major and this career track, and then I'll figure out something else. And then one thing just kind of led to another. And now here I am working in construction.
So what was it that was like that alarming sign that made you like so have such disdain for, hospitality and made you want to kind of switch?
So I think it was a couple of different things. So the first thing was that when I spoke to the people at the country club about what the internship would consist of, I was told one thing and then it ended up actually being something completely different. So that sort of, which I understand happens, things change. But I really wanted to know more about how to run a country club or run a department within a country club rather than cut tomatoes or set tables or bus tables, which is an important thing for someone who's getting in the industry to do. I had already kind of done that in part-time work, and that's not what I was looking to do for the rest of my life. So that was the first thing. The second thing was that the clientele at this particular country club and were not the most exciting, fun people to try to service, and would tend to give myself and the other employees a really difficult time about things that were not necessarily within our jurisdiction of decisions to make. I would be hostessing and would be bringing someone to their table, and they'd complain about the windows not being clean. Do I look like I'm the window cleaner? Do I look like I'm the guy that schedules the window cleaner? And so it was just it just wasn't an environment that I wanted to be a part of.
Yeah. And that's like, we've talked about this before, and it is an important thing, is like those experiences, while they just generally suck, it's good to have them, because they are eye-opening in terms of, like, you see, like, okay, hey, this isn't something that I really want to do, because there are people out there who like and enjoy those customer and those client interactions of saying, hey, you know what, I'll solve that problem for you. And that's right. the industry that they should be in. And so to know that, hey, this isn't for me, you know, you have to go through the suck to get, you know, out the other side, but it is super, super important.
Exactly.
And so, kind of going off that point there, what was it that after you went through that suck, what was on the other side? You know, where were you going there, you know, after hospitality?
So at the time, and I'm not sure if this is particularly the case now, but at the time at Lynn, hospitality majors had to complete 2 internships in order to graduate. And so since that was my first internship, and I already knew that this wasn't something that I wanted to do, I was like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? I do not want to subject myself to another semester of this. I have to do another internship. And so I ended up going to my advisor at the time, Professor Shapiro, who I was pretty close with because I was involved in the hospitality club. I spent some time with him. I would just drop by his office every once in a while. So he kind of knew who I was and my personality. And he recommended looking into event planning. And I was like, huh, that's kind of cool. I never really considered that. Event management wasn't a major that was offered at the time at the school. So it wasn't something that was just kind of readily available for Lynn students. He had connections with some companies in the area and recommended that I apply to those organizations for an internship. So I applied to a couple of places, and I got an internship with a company based out of Delray, and it was the coolest thing, and I had the greatest time. And that's when I sort of realized, hey, you know, I was interested in hospitality management because I, despite my previous story, like people, I like working hard. I like seeing my ideas physically come to fruition. I'm organized, and I don't mind working hard. And those are all sort of qualities that are required within the hospitality field, but are definitely, like, you need those qualities on steroids in event management. And so that's how I kind of segued into the events field from previously wanting to work at a hotel in Disney World.
And that's the beautiful thing. And I think something that needs to just continue to be brought to light with everything is you have this overarching industry of hospitality, and you initially think, what's the first thing? Hotels at Disney World. First thing comes to mind, and it's not event planning. And, you know, evidently so, it wasn't the same for you, you know, but through these experiences, you kind of navigate towards that of saying, hey, look at all these different routes that I can go down, you know? And so still event planning was not what you are doing today. And so we're building upon it, we're building upon it, getting closer and closer to bring this whole thing to circle. So between we have some gaps to fill, between event planning and what you're doing at Sopra Group, what's in between there and why?
Okay, so I think to preface the story, I should have really, and maybe this is a good time to interject there. I'm very aware that I have no idea what I'm doing with my life, right? I don't know what I'm doing. And I think some people are scared to admit that, but I think that's, like, the first step to kind of opening up your realm of possibilities. So many people are like, oh, I want to work in biology, and you can't sway them from that whatsoever. And they limit themselves on their options and what they could enjoy doing by being so specific to this field. So instead, I had kind of shifted my mindset to, what do I have to do right now to get to where I want to be in the future, right? So after I had finished my internship and had finished my undergrad, that feeling that a lot of seniors get in the couple of months following graduation, you're like, oh shit, what am I gonna do? I don't know what I'm gonna do. I have to figure something out. So I was, applying to jobs in Florida. I was applying to jobs back home. I was looking at other things. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And in the meantime, I had applied for a grad assistant position. Actually, I think they were called administrative fellows at the time. I had applied to every single one on campus, like every Department of Education. I have no background in education. Like every single one, I was just like, here's my resume. I just, please, like, somebody take me in. So I got one of the positions with the Office of Admission, which was kind of a fluke. They typically would only hire, the campus ambassadors that were doing the tours for all 4 years. It was only because someone else had turned down that opportunity for another thing that I got it. So, I mean, that's fine. I'll take it, So I did that for a year. I was working in the Office of Admission. And while I was doing that, I was working another part-time job at the mall. And actually, this came about because of the Career Center. They held a career fair. But my schedule was like so bananas at the time, right? Because I'm doing a grad program in international business, which again, my previous major was hospitality. So like hospitality to business is like a whole other thing. And then I'm working 20 hours a week with the Office of Admission. I'm working like 20 to 30 hours a week at the mall. And so there's just a lot going on in a short amount of time. So I had like 25 minutes to go to the career fair and like try to get a full-time job, right? So I remember printing out 50 copies of my resume and going to the career fair and literally saying, hi, my name's Laura. I'm really sorry I'm doing this on my lunch break. Here's my resume. I'd love to work for you. And like, I did that like 50 times, like at every single table. Like I felt bad because, the career center is like, you should really take the time to, get to know the company and talk to the people and make an impression. And I just didn't have the time for it. I was doing it on my lunch break. So during that time, I handed my resume off to the Boca Resort and they said that they were looking for someone to do events there. And I was like, that would be awesome. So again, gave them my resume and just kind of like crossed my fingers and hoped for the best. And I ended up getting a job there. So that was awesome because that was kind of like the best possible scenario. Like the Boca Resort is so established. It's a historical building. Like the creme de la creme of people are going to the Boca Resort. Like people work there for 60 years. It's like the best thing ever. So I'm working there and I hate it. And it's the worst. And I didn't enjoy my time there at all. And even now, like you can ask my friends, I'll walk by the Boca Resort and I'll just be like, I can't walk in there. Like, I just can't do it. It's just awful. So we're going to segue again to another career. During that time, I had just kind of decided that maybe South Florida wasn't really the place for me. I want to get into something else. So I don't necessarily want to stay here, but I don't really want to go home either. So I started researching different cities and I found Greenville, South Carolina. And I'd never been there before. I didn't know anybody there. And I just kind of decided like, in 3 months, I don't care if I don't have a job. I don't care if I don't have a place to live. I'm packing up all of my stuff and I'm moving to Greenville, South Carolina, which sounds bananas in retrospect. So at the time I was talking to my best friend and I was like, do you think I'm crazy? Like, is this a bad idea? Like, should I not do this? And she told me, no, I think it's a really great idea, which is like kind of a little bit of a warning flag, but hang with me here. And she said, by the way, my family has a condo 45 minutes outside of Greenville, and you can stay there for as long as you want. Nobody's there. So I kind of took that as a sign. I was like, okay, I had no idea that my best friend's family had an extra living quarters in this city that I happened to pull out of a hat and decided that I wanted to go to. So I was like, I'm going. That's what I'm going to do. So I started looking for jobs in that area. And there's the condo was actually in Clemson, South Carolina, which at the time I wasn't super familiar with Clemson, or I was like, I think there might be a school there. And so I was looking at it and I was like, oh, it looks like there's a school there. I technically have experience in higher education now because of the work that I did in the Office of Admission. Maybe I can find something there. I don't know. Even if I can just get my foot in the door part-time, maybe it can lead to something later on. So I was looking on their website and they were hiring for, the name of the position was Game Day Events Manager. And essentially they were looking for someone to run the football tailgates for their like VIP donors and alumni of the university. And I was like, that's cool. I like sports. It's an event management thing. And I've worked in higher education. And it's still kind of a hospitality thing because you need those qualities in order to, serve people of that caliber. So I had applied. And a couple of days later, they called me and they said, hey, can you come in for an interview? We're looking to fill this position really quickly. Is there any way that you can stop by today or tomorrow? I was actually in Canada at the time visiting my brother. So there was like definitely no way that I could get there within short notice, but I actually convinced them, this is aging myself, to Skype interview because people just weren't doing that back then. I mean, it's so common now, but I was the first Skype interview that had ever gone through Clemson University.
Wow. Oh, let's take a moment.
Big shot. So I interviewed and they said, we really like you. We'd like to hire you. Is there any way you can get down here next week? So I got there and I started working that job, and it was really kind of life-changing for me. The culture up there is just completely different. I had an incredible time. I really didn't want to leave. But I got offered, while I was up there, I got offered a full-time position with the event company that I had interned with back in Florida. And so I ended up moving back to Florida and taking that job there. So I guess before I progress on to how I am, where I am, two important things that I think I would share from that is that I am pretty good at maintaining contact with all of my previous employers. You never know when something might come up that could be helpful to you or them. I'm pretty good about sending Christmas cards or holiday cards to people at the end of the year. And I think if I hadn't been doing that with my previous, with this event company, they wouldn't have thought of me when this opportunity came up. I didn't apply to that job with that event company while I was in Clemson. They actually reached out to me and asked me if I would be willing to leave my job to work with them. So that I think is an important thing to keep in mind. So I was doing the event management thing back in Florida again. It was really incredible experience. Event management is kind of like managing your own business. You have to keep track of budget. You have to keep track of inventory. You have to keep timelines. You have to really just manage everything from start to end. And eventually I was like, you know what, I think I might be ready to do something else. It was a lot of traveling, which is really cool at first, but then after a while you're like, man, you know, I'm missing things. I'm missing milestone events for my friends and family because I'm traveling for work so often. I'm pretty much living out of a suitcase. It's really difficult to maintain any type of life when you're traveling so often for your company. And at that point in time, is when, the position became available with the Career Center when they were merging career connections with alumni. And so I had interviewed for that position and had gotten it. And so that's how I kind of ended up at the Career Center.
Wow.
Are you following along so far?
Right, we're all following. So just for the people scoring at home, we go hospitality, don't like it, event management, like it a lot. Then we move to South Carolina.
Yes.
Like it, enjoy it, get a full-time job back in Florida with event management in an industry that we love because we maintain contact with people and employers around. And then we get, we don't like it so much because of the traveling and the quality, the way of life. So that leads us more towards interviewing for the job with the Career Center on the alumni side of things. So that is the Reader's Digest. How'd I do? What's my score?
That was perfect. Fantastic. I've been trying to find a way to kind of shorten that tail. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah. So you could use a clip and just send it off to whoever asks you.
Thank you. Yes.
The 30-second clip right there. So I think that's so cool. And one thing, you know, before we go on any further, that I think it's so important to touch on too is that, like you mentioned, you don't have it all figured out, and that's okay. It's not a bad thing. And you can have it. You don't have to have it figured out to have your life together. And I think that's something that's like a weird thing to kind of talk about, because if you don't have it figured out, then you feel like, okay, well, I don't have my life together. And that's not necessarily the case. And can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Right. So, I mean, especially in working with the Career Center, I see so many students, I mean, even prospective students who are coming in on a tour that are, you know, 15, 16 years old, and they're like, I want to do marketing. And I'm like, but do you? Like, how do you know? Like, I can personally attest that almost none of the decisions that I made as a 15-year-old were sound ones. So how could I be expected to make a decision like, I want to study marketing and marketing is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, and all I ever wanted to do was marketing, marketing, marketing? Like, I can't commit to something like that. So I think the thing is that it's, I guess I want to say it's sort of, I don't know if generational is the right word, but I've definitely noticed that so many students now are so focused on this one track. And if they deviate, if a job was offered to them in something that wasn't exactly what they wanted to do, they wouldn't even entertain the idea, which, you know, can also be a positive quality. If you know what you want and you have your standards and that's what you want to do, then that's great. But I think students and people are so quick to say, this is what I want to do, because that sounds safer than saying, I'm not really sure and I'm open to other ideas. So I think you can make up your mind momentarily. You can say, you know, I'm really interested in marketing right now, but hospitality is cool. So maybe I could work for a marketing firm that does restaurants and hotel chains. I think that would give a lot of people way more leeway and options than just being so dead set on one particular route.
No, definitely. I've got a fun fact for you here.
Love that. I love fun facts.
Speaking of changing careers, being dead set at one point in your life and shifting at another, when I was growing up, I was dead set on becoming a horticulturist. And for those of you who don't know at home, that's a person who studies plants and all those types of things. That's a rough definition, so don't quote me on that. But on the way to elementary school, and I was young, like early elementary school, we would drive by and there would just be this row of trees, plants, sea grapes. I could name each individual plant. I can't do it with your background now, but I was in love. That's what I was going to be. And that lasted, you know, maybe to second grade. And then I was done with it. But kind of to your point, though, and something that really helped me personally, I think it overlaps with what you're saying, you know, very nicely, is you can have this goal and this route that you want to go down, but have other things that you enjoy. And how I used that in my life was playing baseball growing up. All I wanted to do was reach the big leagues, play professionally. And so you have to go all in on that. And so right. When you have big goals, if you want to be, the owner of a hotel, you want to be, you know, the next great scientist, whatever your goals are, you have to go all in, eat, drink, sleep, breathe, do everything that.
Right.
What was so beneficial to me was I never had a plan B. And when I tell people that, they'd be like,
what do you mean? You had to like, what's your backup plan? That'd be the first question that would be asked when I would tell them, what do you want to be? I want to be a Major League Baseball player. What's your backup plan? And I never had one.
Right.
This was something that my parents instilled in me. And I'm grateful for that. Is it wasn't to have a backup plan, but to have multiple passions. And right. That was the thing that helped me to when baseball, you know, was finished for me. Yes, I, you know, fell short of reaching the major leagues, but because I had those other things in place, because I had multiple passions, I was able to make the transition into a new industry or a new, you know, career path much more seamlessly than if I hadn't had those multiple passions. So you can be dead set on marketing at 15, but be dead set with multiple passions.
And right. I think
that's like the super important thing here.
And I think also too, the thing that a lot of students don't realize is that when employers look at your resume, they want to see that you have the ability to do well in other environments. So as an example, when I was applying at the Boca Resort, I had the background in education because of the administrative fellowship I was doing with the Office of Admission. I was also working in like a high-end clothing store in the mall. So some students may just think like, oh, I'm only working at the clothing store in the mall. I don't have any real professional work experience. Well, you're trained to speak to the customers and the clients in a particular manner. And that does really well for the Boca Resort. If they don't have to train you on how to your customer service voice, then that's one less thing that you're already qualified for. They saw that I had experience in food and beverage because my first job was working at a coffee shop back home in Rhode Island. So they knew that I understand the importance of food management, food inventory, food safety. So even though those three things are really not associated at all, a coffee shop, a clothing store, and the Office of Admission at Lynn University, the qualities and the skills that I got from those three things were exactly what the Boca Resort was looking for in an event planner, even though none of those things were really event planning jobs. So even though that, I think that's a really important thing for students to recognize, even though you may not have quote unquote event management experience, or you've never been an event manager or an event coordinator or an event intern, you can still take the skills from other jobs that you've, or internships that you've worked, and apply them to the job that you want to get.
I love that. And you just, I mean, spoon-fed this one to me. We're bringing this whole thing full circle here. So through this winding, twisting road that you've taken to get to present day 2021, as we sit here and have this discussion, what skills have you picked up along the way that from all these different areas that you see are directly applicable to the things that you're doing in an industry with Sopra Group that is, again, so far from the other areas in your life prior?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of different things. So the first thing right off the bat is that with my previous roles, I've learned how to be a people person, and I've learned how to, just as I had mentioned, speak to billion-dollar clients. That takes a long time, and I still work on it every day myself, but it takes a long time to sort of learn how to do that and represent your company in a manner where you can work with million-dollar, billion-dollar clientele. That is something that I use quite consistently in my role now. The second thing is organization. That definitely comes from my event management roles. I'm organizing things every single day, whether it's paperwork in the office or organizing different subcontractors. Organization is a huge deal. Other qualities. I don't know if this would necessarily be considered a quality, but 99% of the time, I'm the only woman on a job site. I think that this is a huge industry that's been completely untapped for women. And not for nothing, there's a need for us there. We are intrinsically more organized and thorough in our work. I think sometimes we strategize a little bit further ahead. We keep better to-do lists. There's a need for women within the field. And I think a lot of times, I mean, myself included, I never thought that this would be something that I'm doing. That's just not something that women explore because it's not a womanly industry.
No, definitely. Definitely. Before we wrap up here, you mentioned this, that all these things in your life are helping you get to where you want to go. So question, where do you want to go?
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know. People ask me that all the time. And I've never really been able to come up with a good answer. If I could pick like any industry or like anything that I could pick anything, I'd love to be a race car driver, but that, I mean, maybe that will happen. I don't know. But I think for me, because of my circumstances, I've always really just wanted to come down to the fact that I'm independent in my work and independent financially. And so with that comes the responsibility of being able to make enough money to support oneself. So this was something that I had mentioned to my boyfriend right before hopping on here, because I think it's important to mention that people say things like, you know, it's, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, which is cool. But like, if you're making $5 an hour, you can't really function on that. So you need to be able to acquire the skills to work a job that makes you enough money where you're not working a zillion hours a week and you're enjoying your life, so that you can support yourself in a way that makes sense. So I guess, what do I want to do? I want to make $1 trillion so that I don't ever have to worry about money again.
I love it. I love it. And I am in full support of the race car driver dream.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And if you're interested, and there is a particular car-based Instagram account that you want to give a little shout out, I wouldn't stop you at this point. So if you want to take advantage of that, feel free. If not, wrap it up. So is there anything that comes to mind?
I haven't been super active on it. I guess this goes against everything that I said about being committed and doing a good job at everything that you're doing. And but I do have a car Instagram account. It's at Laura Soros Rex, Laura with two R's, _SS for Supersport. So if anyone wants to give me a follow, please feel free to do so.
There it is.
I'm on a journey to become Instagram famous.
On the fast track to Instagram fame in the automobile industry. So I love that. So now we're coming to the time where it's time to cash out, leave the people with a little extra dough, a little extra money for the road, with your best piece of advice, biggest lesson that you've learned along the way. So what do you have for us today?
I think my best piece of advice is to set yourself up for success. If you don't do the things that are going to help you in the long run, you're never going to get anywhere. So make sure you're doing the best thing that you can do in your job right now. Maintain contact with your employers and your coworkers. Be friendly to everybody that you meet, because you never know which opportunities are gonna come from those people. And you can't be successful if you don't allow yourself to be. So just make sure you're setting yourself up for success.
I love it. Beautiful. Well, what can I say? Laura, thank you so much for coming.
Cashing out.
This is fantastic. Absolutely. Cashing out. Give people a little money for the road. So thank you so much for coming on. This is awesome. Great catching up with you. And I look forward to seeing you driving down those tracks here soon. So
thanks, Ben.